For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living.
That he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why would Jesus Christ have interest in the dead? If the concept out there is correct, that when you are dead forever, this business of judgment and facing God and being responsible, all that is foolishness, according to some belief out there. Whether a man lives or die, that man or woman is responsible to God. Now, let us hear the passage of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verse 1 through verse 6. You may title the lesson, "The Saints and Sinners' Responsibility in Respect to God's Word." The saints, as well as the sinners' responsibility in reference to the Word of God. And that is, it's not just men and women who claim they are serving God that is responsible to God. Men and women who go about their own business have no concern about God and God's word. They too are responsible to God. The passage under consideration as found in the passage of Ezekiel, the brother is going to read from chapter 33. Of course, the same thought is found in chapter 3. But let us hear chapter 33 from verse 1 through verse 6 first.
"Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast, and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land..."
I want you to notice here, because very important, this business of watchman. It's important that we do not let that miss us. In a few minutes, we will be turning to a passage in the book of 2 Samuel... that will enlighten us more about the work and the duty and the responsibility of the ancient watchman or watchmen. But listen, the Almighty God, as if it were telling Daniel that he, Ezekiel rather, that he was serving the purpose, taking the place like the ancient, the old-time watchmen usually perform. Let us hear it, brother.
"If when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet..."
Wait. Are you blowing your trumpet? That's another title that could be given to this study of God's word. If when the watchman see the sword come up on the land, what does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Well, in a few minutes, as I've said, I'll be pointing out how that most city, if not all the places that could be considered city in the ancient world, not only in the Middle East, but all over the ancient world, cities for their own safety and security had to have wall. And I think it was last week I pointed out it was not like a wall like this. Those were wall on which on the top chariot could run. That is a horse-drawn chariot with sometimes 2-3 mule drawing it could run upon the top of the wall. That's how wide these walls were. Read on, brother.
And warn the people.
And that is the watchman. If when he saw danger, that is the sword. Extend that, Brother Mitchell. The invading army, the oncoming danger, if he does not what? Warn, read, brother.
Warn the people.
Read on.
Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet,
mm-hmm,
and take it not warning,
uh-huh,
if the sword come,
uh-huh,
and take him away,
mm-hmm,
his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet,
uh-huh,
and took not warning,
uh-huh,
his blood shall be upon him.
That is, if the watchman does his work by blowing his trumpet to warn the citizen, when he, the watchman, who was placed strategically at a high elevation so that any danger coming he could see, if he blow his trumpet telling the citizen in the city that danger is coming, then those who did not take steps to protect themselves when the invading enemy came and killed them off, the watchman was not to be blamed. Read, brother.
But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the soul,
if the watchman,
and blow not the trumpet.
Wait. Did you know that we as Christians are Jesus' watchmen? And women, that's the substance here. That's the substance here. Read, brother.
And the people be not warned.
Start that verse again.
But if the watchman see the sword come.
If the watchman see the sword, that is the invading enemy, the invading army, come it.
And blow not a trumpet.
And did not blow the trumpet, give warning.
And the people be not warned.
Mm-hmm.
If the sword come.
If the sword come.
And take any person from among them.
Notice the individuality, the specificness. And take any person from them. Why would that person be taken? Because that person did not get warning to take step to protect him or herself. Uh-huh.
He is taken away in his iniquity.
He is taken away in his iniquity.
But his blood will require at the watchman's hand.
Everybody hear that? Somebody didn't hear that. His blood
will require at
be required at the watchman's hand. Wait. May I beg that when the lesson today and the lesson most likely tonight, it's a lesson I'm going to beg that when hopefully in another 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, 9 months, 10 months, when things, God's willing, get back to normal, when we can all meet at the one service in the day and one at the night, I definitely want to repeat this lesson. One of the first lessons that I'll be repeating so that the whole congregation can hear. Both the lesson, because the lesson tonight will deal with the fact, will deal hopefully, because I've been wondering should I do that lesson on a month, but I'm hoping. Will deal with the fact that, did you know that it matters not what activity you engage in, what your participation in whatever the church does, if soul winning and evangelism is not a part of your activity. All those other activities is like they do not amount to much or nothing. That will be the lesson tonight. Wait, Brother Mitchell, did I hear you right? Yes, you heard me right. That all the activities that we may engage in and feel that we are doing God's will, if evangelism, trying to have men turn their lives over to Christ, is not the primary focus in our activities as Christians, then all the things we do amount to little or nothing. Let me just drop one thing by here. Jesus Christ said, I came to seek and save the lost. That should be the Christian primary purpose. And we will look at that tonight. And as I've said, this lesson and that lesson is two lessons. While there are quite a few lessons I would like to repeat when we get back as normal, having to go about our duty in a normal way, having the COVID under control. This lesson and that lesson I refer to will be two lessons that I'm begging you all to remind me to repeat them. Yes, brother, you were in the book of Ezekiel. I'm not sure if you had read verse 6 yet.
Yes, I've read verse 6.
You read 6?
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's go on now. As I've said, we want chapter 3, but we may not go there yet. The text is all about, that is the text the brother has just read, is all about the responsibility that men and women, saints and sinners alike, have toward the word and the message of the Almighty God. I hope you are listening to the text. And the truth that God's word does not return unto him void. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. What does the Bible mean when it says that God's word does not return unto him void? The Almighty God's word comes to us to enlighten us and to bring about conformity to the will of God. That's what God's word is all about, God's message. When God sends a message to any man or woman, when you hear a true lesson from God's word, God's intent is for that message, for those words coming from his revelation, to bring about changes in our lives. Now, when a man or woman hear God's word and fail to respond to it, it doesn't mean that God's word did not accomplish anything. Because God's word is here to save and it is here to condemn. When we respond positively, it saves us. When we respond negatively, it condemns us. And the passage read places the responsibility not only on the watchman, it places the responsibility on those who heard the trumpet of the watchman. Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, God illustrates The spiritual watchman responsibility in verse 1 through verse 6, which has just been read. Now, let me give you a little more, read a little more again, brother. You're reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, I think I said, and from verse 1 to around verse 6. I'll stop you at the appropriate verse. Let us hear a little more.
So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel.
I set you a watchman unto the house of Israel.
Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth.
Thou shalt hear the word at my mouth.
And warn them from me.
And you must give warning. Wait now, now, now. We are God's watchmen. That is every Christian. But you and I are God's watchmen, not only for Jamaica, wherever we travel, wherever men and women stand in need to hear that because of their sinfulness, they are in grave danger. You know, the passage is going to talk about the sword coming. The sword was a weapon of destruction. And sin is what Satan is using to destroy men and women. We who have been redeemed, who have been enlightened, we need to understand that men and women who have not turn their lives over to the management of Jesus Christ, that they are in grave danger. The worst danger there is. Read on, brother.
When I say unto the wicked.
When I say unto the wicked. But Brother Mitchell, we don't have wicked people today. You know, may I? You remember the sword, rather the talent, where the businessman who was traveling, or the master, he gave the servant 5 talent, he gave this one 3, he gave this one 1 talent, and the one with the 1 talent went and hid his talent. Watch here, it was that one. When the master came, now he should have taken that talent, invest it, and get more on it. But he hid it. I just want you to understand the concept in the word wicked. From Jesus' own word, when the master came, even though he did not steal the talent, he did not throw it away, but he failed to have it multiplied. His sin of omission. That is, he omit from doing something that he should have done. He failed to do something that he should have done. He was classified as wicked servant. Do we see how the word wickedness is used? You do not have to be out there killing and holding up people with your gun and committing adultery and fornication. You do not have to be out there doing those things. Just failure to do what you are to do, Jesus Christ considered it wicked. So take up on wicked, dear brother.
When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die. If thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
Read.
Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, If he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity.
Read.
But thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions...
Just a minute. Are you reading from 33, 1 through 6? We're the watchman, the watchman. Get me the verse of the watchman.
Okay. But if the watchman see the sword...
What verse is that?
That's verse 6.
Okay. Read.
But if the watchman see the sword...
If the watchman see the sword...
Come.
Uh-huh.
And blow not the trumpet.
Not. Why I come back here, and it's important. In fact, throughout the lesson, I'll be coming back to this. As I've said, the ancient city, a wall, in many cases, was as wide and wider than one side of the island. Wall of a city. And remember, that wall, sometime 10 feet high, and go around the city. We all remember the wall of Jericho. Now, the watchman had a little place built for him at a pivotal point where he could see all around that if one person coming, he would recognize. And if he thought, if the watchman thought that that person coming was a spy, he would blow his trumpet to give warning to the city. In fact, since we are there about the watchman, just run to the book of 2 Samuel. And I think we want verse 18. 2 Samuel, verse 18. And let us have from verse 24 through 27, 2 Samuel.
And David sat between the two gates. And the watchman...
We are at this passage to understand the function, the purpose, the work, the importance, the significance of the watchman. And I remind you that Christian today, we are Jesus's watchmen and women. Huh? Yes, 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 yes. We are to give warning to the unbelievers. Yes, yes, yes. In a little while, I'm going to be showing you in God's word that we are to take warning from God and give warning to the unbelievers. Let us hear the passage in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 18. And I think I said from verse 7 or somewhere there.
Verse 24.
Let us have it, 24.
And David sat between the two gates.
Mm-hmm.
And the watchman went up to the roof.
The who?
The watchman went up to the roof over the gate onto the wall.
You hear that? The watchman went up to the roof over the gate on the wall.
Amen.
Don't move. That's where his place was. Why the wall? That was the highest point. It was strategic. He was the human radar. He was the security camera that you install around your house or business place. That's the point. That's the purpose, he said. Read on, brother, the watchman.
And lifted up his eyes and looked.
You know who lifted up his eyes? The watchman. That was his duty, to look, to see if danger is coming. Amen. Read.
And behold, a man running alone.
You notice that? One man. It was not an army. One man running alone, but we're the strategic point that the watchman was put, anybody coming, he must be looking at all time. Because he was the one to warn the city of the danger that was coming. Wait. Remember, we are God's watchmen. Read, brother.
And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman cried unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone.
You notice that anybody move outside the wall, the watchman. Because anybody ever come in that city, come through the gate, and the watchman didn't notify them, the watchman could have lost his life because he was responsible. Remember, you know, don't forget that you as a child of God, you are Jesus' watchman and woman to help give warning to the ungodly, but to give warning in love. That's right. Don't tell the ungodly. You are going to hell, you know. No. Let the ungodly know Jesus Christ died for you. You are a sinner. And if you die in that state without obeying the gospel, you are exposed to danger that Christ doesn't want you to be exposed to. Read on a little more, brother.
And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, me thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz.
I think, you notice how distinct the watchman. I think the type of running I see is the running of a particular person. That's how keen the watchman had to be. Read a little more, brother.
Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king.
What verse is that?
Verse 28.
Okay, you may stop there, brother. It gives us, you see, we could also read the book of 2 Kings chapter 9, 7 through 20 about watchmen. We could also read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 16 about watchmen. But what you have read give us enough understanding. Remember, the watchman was like a human radar, or like the security camera that we see today. The security camera, that camera is set up around your house, around your business place, and there's usually a monitor. There is also where, when anything move outside, that camera or that instrument that you keep can make some noise to tell you that there's movement outside. Well, the watchman in the ancient world served that purpose. And here the Almighty God is likening the prophet Ezekiel to a watchman that sit up on the wall. When we turn to the book, we're not going to turn to it now, to the book of 1 Corinthians, I think it is chapter 14, where we are told that if the watchman or if the trumpeter blow an uncertain, so you know it too. Thank God. If the trumpeter blow an uncertain sound, those who need to take step of safety would be confused. In fact, I'll be getting to that thought in a little while. So here we are, brothers and sisters. Some of these passages I didn't read. The watchman was to blow his trumpet. Are we all there? Are we all there? Are you blowing your trumpet? Every time you or I tell men or women, show them their need for Christ, we are blowing our trumpet. Every time. And God expects that of each one of us. The watchman was to take notice and to give notice. That's right. He was to take note of whatever is entering the city. And when he take note, he was to give notice by blowing his horn. So are we, ladies and gentlemen. Let us run to the passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 7 through 9. Quick.
And even things without life, giving sound, with their pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds. How shall it be known what is piped or harped?
What, everybody get that? The things that give sound. How shall it be known when the sound is given, whether it is piped
or harped?
Or harm. What verse is that?
Verse 7.
Read on.
For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound.
If the trumpet give an uncertain sound.
Who?
This is going right back to the watchman, you know. Are the soldier in the war who alert the army that they should get up and prepare. Read if they.
For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle?
Who shall prepare himself to battle? If the trumpet give an uncertain sound. Read, brother.
So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue.
You notice, the ye here refer to the Christian. And what it is doing, it is lightening the Christian responsibility to the watchmen or the watchman and the wall. What it is saying, we must make sure that when we give sound of danger, we don't make it complicated. We don't give sound that nobody understands. A lot of time, you know, you are teaching a person and nobody understands what you are saying. That's what it is saying. What it is saying, the message that you and I have to warn the ungodly, the co-worker, family members, neighbors, the stranger, the message that you and I have from Jesus Christ, it is such an important, pivotal message. It is so important that men and women who need it understand their need for Christ, that you and I must make sure that we are understood, that we make it simple, that we make it so that they understand what is being said. We must never, a lot of time, we try to be diplomatic. And wait. Nothing is wrong in being diplomatic. But if diplomacy means you are going to suppress God's truth, then throw diplomacy one side. That's right. Now, remember the Bible says that we are to answer how? In meekness and in fear. The Bible tells how our word must be as we try to teach men. So we must make sure that when we deliver the message of salvation, we do it with love and concern. But we must make sure that people understand what God's message is. We must not give uncertain sound. Are we all there? The three passages, we have been centering on one. But there are three passages in Ezekiel. You have Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 through 17 following. We have Ezekiel chapter 18, 1 following. And we have Ezekiel chapter 33, 1 from chapter 1 through 6, or rather, 1 through 15, Ezekiel chapter 33. The thought are listening in these passages are all about the awesome responsibility of those with God's word, our message, and the awesome responsibility of those who hear God's word, our message. Did you hear what I said? All three passages, Ezekiel chapter 3, Ezekiel chapter 18, Ezekiel chapter 33, all three passages are dealing with the awesome responsibility that those who have God's truth, God's message have, and the awesome responsibility for those who hear God's message. So it's not only responsibility on those of us who have the message, know the truth, but those to whom it is given. They also have great responsibility. The text has warning for the ungodly or the wicked, so that the ungodly or the wicked may repent. Watch here, watch here, watch here. And the text has warning for the righteous, lest the righteous fall away from their righteousness. That's right. The text does not only warn the ungodly and the wicked. The text warns the righteous also. Are you sure, Brother Mitchell? Well, let's look at it now. I start with one. Let us look at 3:17. Chapter 3, Ezekiel.
Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning for me.
No, notice here. Read.
When I say unto the wicked.
You're reading verse 18.
Verse 18.
May I have your attention, brothers and sisters. I'm going to pick out five groups in this passage that God gives warning to. It means that nobody passes through God's view. Five. And I'm going to list them, starting with number one. In verse 18, the sinner, it is warning the sinner who is not warned, are giving warning, telling us about the sinner who is not warned. Verse 18.
When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speaketh to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand.
You notice? Notice, that's just one. This verse 18 is dealing with the wicked, the ungodly men and women. God wants them to repent, but they cannot repent without words from God's mouth. And that's where we come in. That's where the gospel of Jesus Christ comes in. That's where the truth comes in. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So here, the men and women who is evil, sinful, ungodly, they are to get warning according to verse 18. Then, the second group is the sinner who is warned but does not repent. Verse 19.
Yet if thou warn the wicked, And he turned not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way. He shall die in his iniquity.
Now that is dealing with the ungodly who got warning, told about his or her need for Christ to repent and live according to the will of God. And that man or woman pays that no attention. They think they have all the time in the world. The Bible says when you and I enlighten that person, we have delivered our soul. That's right. The bottom line, you know, is that God wants no man to die in his or her sin. And that points to the love and the mercy and the grace of God. You see, and that points to the fact that men and women are responsible to the Almighty God whether they live or whether they die. If not, if death ends all, God would have no concern in reference to whether you die in your sin or not. But you notice the passage, the context, is placing a lot of emphasis in the person not dying in his or her sin. So that was the second group. The wicked, the ungodly who was warned but did not repent. The third group is the righteous who backslide but got no warning. Let us hear it from verse 20, brother. Verse 19.
Verse 20, read. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness.
You know, I told you, the passage going to address five groups. It's that nobody escaped God.
Amen.
And God has a plan to save every man, every woman. But the ungodly, the backslider need our assistance. We are the watchmen God placed on the wall. Our eyes must be open to their danger and need. We have God's trumpet. That is the gospel. We must use it to give warning to people. And to give the warning in such a way that they will understand that not only God warned them to do the right thing, but we have interest in they doing the right thing. Yes, now, he's dealing with the backslider. Verse 20, you read verse 20. Read it again now if you read it already.
Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning.
You hear? You have not blown your trumpet. You have not warned him. You are going to notice that God is going to hold you responsible for him. Remember when we turn to the book of Corinthians, chapter 14, where God points out there that we as Christians must not give any uncertain sound. We must make sure that our message is plain. So that was the righteous man who backslid but was not warned. And then the fourth group is the righteous man who is warned but remain unrighteous. That's verse 21.
Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doeth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul.
I like that part, brother. I like that part. The last part you have read there. Brother, read it again.
He shall surely live because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul.
That's what I like, Brother McFarlane, the part. That also. thou hast delivered thy
soul.
That belong to you and me. What the passage is saying, you and I, our soul, are in danger when we do not share the message of Jesus Christ with the co-worker, the neighbor, the relative, the friends, the stranger. We are in danger because we did not give one. Notice that when the backslider here, as a result of warning given to him or her, the backslider turned to God and repent. It's not only that the backslider saved his or her soul, but you who have given him or her warning, save your soul also. That was the fourth. And the fifth is the righteous who refuse to warn the ungodly. This is found in verse 18.
When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand.
So brothers and sisters, here the Almighty God has given five groups here. Nobody is exempt. The bottom line is that God expects those of us with the trumpet, and the gospel is a type of trumpet. The gospel is here to warn men, to let them know there is danger in living without Jesus Christ. But the gospel cannot of itself warn men. It needs human agency. We, the Christian, when we fail to carry out this great responsibility, it matters not what else we do in the church. We will still be in danger. I want you to notice a few things here. While I don't think I'll complete the lesson, I'm sort of wrapping up now. There are a few things to notice here. Notice that God is concerned that, get this, that no word but his be the doctrine or the message of warning. That's important. 3:17, Brother Holy. Yeah, very important. Let us hear Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, that God is concerned that it's not just any and any religious message. It's not just any and any religious word. No. Notice the passage.
Son of man. I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel.
I make you a watchman unto the house of Israel.
Therefore, hear the word at my mouth.
Wait. What word?
At my mouth.
The word of God's mouth.
Amen.
You see, the watchman in this case was not supposed to blow any trumpet.
Amen.
But the one given by God.
Amen.
Hear the word of my mouth.
And give them warning. For me.
You see, it is God's word that's going to do the job. In our case, the gospel of Jesus Christ, nothing else can do the job. Nothing else can make men and women right and make them measure up to God's standard. Look at the fact is, there is no substitute to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we all there? Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 9 and verse 14. Quick.
But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.
You notice what I noticed? That even worship becomes vain worship when we push aside God's word and adopt tradition, what man says, what religious leaders have said down through the years. When we accept that and put God's word one side, our worship is effort in futility. It amounts to nothing if worship is not guided by the word of God. Jesus Christ speaking there. You are in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9.
Amen.
Read verse 14 too.
Let them alone.
Let them alone.
They be blind leaders of the blind.
Mm-hmm.
And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch.
That is when God's word is substituted. Notice that even though the ungodly or the wicked are not warned. Wait. Watch here. Even though the wicked or the ungodly are not warned. That is in chapter 33, verse 8. We will not go to it because I'm wrapping up. Even though the wicked or the ungodly are not warned, they are still punished for their sin and ungodliness. We're implied that, Brother Mitchell. Ezekiel, we're not going to read it, but if you want to write it down, when you go home, Ezekiel 33, verse 8, even though the ungodly, disobedient men and women don't get warning, they are going to still punish. Hold that, Brother Mitchell, because the Almighty God, are you all there? The Almighty God has made us with an inner manita. Explain, Brother Mitchell. There is a thing called conscience. Eh? Every man, every woman was given that by God. Where even if you do not have Brother Mitchell preaching to you, or this brother, or whoever, there's something God placed in you to make you conscious of wrong and right to a certain extent. That's right. And this is why the Bible says that men and women are without excuse. That's right. So, they are inexcusable. Lack of knowledge is in many cases not only inexcusable, but it is sin. Did I hear you right, Brother Mitchell? You heard me right. That lack of knowledge, in many cases, it is in the sight of God inexcusable. What do I mean? That you do not have the knowledge that you should have because you take no interest. That's why it is inexcusable. You take no interest. And it is sinful. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That the watchman neglect his duty, that meant no merit or excuse for the evildoer. That the watchman did not carry out his work does not mean the evildoer is safe. And last but not least, the judgment passed upon the watchman does not depend and the result of his ministry. I'm closing. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. The judgment that is passed upon the watchman does not depend on the result of his ministry. That is, whether men will hear are whether they will forbear. What was important is that he delivered God's message. It was not dependent on whether one or 10 or 1,000 or 10,000 responded to his warning. He delivered his soul when he gave warning. Whether they hear or forbear was dependent on them. The ball was in their court when we give warning. You are God's trumpet. Well, you are God's agent, rather. The gospel is God's trumpet. We must use it to warn men and women. Any of you have any of that track that I asked for Wednesday night? I should every. We had asked, you know, some should have been in the door. How did we forget to put some of those in the door? Thank you, Brother Pierre. Thank you. I'm closing, but this is one of the ways you help warn the ungodly is to give them religious literature. But you must make sure you read it and know what it contains. When you know what a tract is dealing with, you can give it to your coworker, friend, with confidence, and you can give it out strategically. You don't give a tract, the same tract, to everybody, because different of your neighbor, friends, relatives have different needs. You may have a neighbor that believes sprinkling is baptism. You need to give that person, among other things, a tract that explains something about biblical baptism. That's right. But this is one of our new tracts, Introducing the Church of Christ. Many of the members don't know about it. This is a tract. It is written inside. It's mainly questions that are posed to the ungodly men and women in man-made churches, question. But this question was meant to make them think. Make them think. What is the point? This is one of the ways we give them warning. When you make sure you walk with a few tracks in your purse, in your car, in your wallet, whatever, so that when the need come up, when you see the avenue, you can ask, John, when you get a chance, please read this. You will profit from it. I'm just pointing out here ways in which warning is given to the ungodly. But remember, we are God's agent. We are like the trumpeter. The gospel is the trumpet. We must give warning. We are going to end here today, dear. I want to say more and read a few passages about delivering our soul only when we enlighten men.